Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 27th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Nancy Pelosi pledges to pass President Biden's infrastructure bill this week.
The head of the CDC says parts of the U.S. health system are in dire straits.
New York State makes plans to call in the National Guard to replace unvaccinated health workers.
Mourners in Long Island say goodbye to Gabby Petito as the search continues for her fiancé. Plus, the NTSB is on the scene of a deadly train derailment in Montana. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. More late-inning drama for the Yankees as they finished a sweep for the Red Sox. The Jets and Giants both lost and remain winless.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 106.1 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Hey, good Monday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are higher to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 147, and NASDAQ futures up 10. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%, 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 1.47%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.5%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Washington this morning with new developments on President Biden's infrastructure package. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has set a vote for Thursday on the bill. Amy Morris reports from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Let me just say we're going to pass the bill this week.
Pelosi says lawmakers plan to pass the $550 billion infrastructure bill, and she signaled that that bigger package of spending and tax measures will be lowered from $3.5 trillion.
I know the Budget Committee passed a resolution calling for $3.5 trillion, but it sounds like you acknowledge that the final number is going to be somewhat smaller than that.
Yeah. I mean, that seems self-evident.
Pelosi made the comments on ABC's This Week, which can be heard on Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Divisions between progressive and moderate Democratic factions have set up a showdown over the Biden economic agenda. Progressives are insisting on progress first on the bigger bill, which moderates have said has a price tag that is too high. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, and a warning this morning from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. She says parts of the U.S. health system are in dire straits.
We are working so hard in areas that have high levels of disease where they can't, their healthcare systems are in dire straits, that working to get assistance to them, working to get those communities vaccinated, because as I noted, people who are not vaccinated are 10 times more likely to be in the hospital. Our hospitals are filled with unvaccinated people.
CDC Director Rochelle Walensky made the comments on Face the Nation from CBS, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, talking of dire straits, Karen, in New York State, they're considering special action to meet a deadline for healthcare workers to be vaccinated today. Let's get those details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. If thousands of healthcare workers fail to meet that state vaccination deadline today, Governor Kathy Hochul plans to call the National Guard and out-of-state medical professionals to cover staff shortages. California and Maine have also set deadlines for healthcare workers to be vaccinated. Meantime, New York City school system has been temporarily blocked from imposing a vaccination mandate for teachers and other staff. The presidents of the city's teachers and principals unions warned the deadline would result in employee shortages that will compromise the safety of children. It was scheduled to go into effect at midnight tonight. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Meantime, COVID has cut more than 2 years off the life expectancy of American men. That's the biggest decline among 29 nations in a study of the pandemic's effect on longevity. According to the research from the University of Oxford, deaths among working-age men contributed the most to declining lifespans in the U.S.
All right, let's turn to European politics now and a major election on the continent's largest economy. Germany is issuing preliminary results in a very tight race. Olaf Scholz of the center-left Social Democrats has defeated Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives, who are now led by Armin Laschet. That could lead to months of complex coalition talks to decide who will lead Germany. We get more from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Berlin.
The winner is Olaf Scholz. This was a big turnaround for the Social Democrats that they have won the election. And the fact that they've added seats and the CDU has lost seats, it's a very clear signal. The vote is very tight. And for Armin Laschet, he knows in his political calculus that right now he has two options. He either forms a government or he will or could likely be out of the CDU after that election result yesterday, which was the worst for the union since the Second World War. So he will fight to try to make this happen. So essentially you're looking at two very centrist options trying to form a government.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Berlin reports Olaf Scholz and the SPD took nearly 26% of the vote, while Armin Laschet's Christian Democrats claimed 24%. Experts say it could take months for either side to form a coalition.
Well, turning to Asia now, Nathan, the economic picture for China is darkening. Economists at Nomura Holdings and China International Capital have cut their growth forecast for Beijing's economy. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more.
The downgrades come as power shortages force businesses to cut back on production. CICC said the power cuts would likely slash the country's growth rate by 0.1 to 0.15 percentage point. That's in the third and fourth quarters. The shock will have a big impact on production, especially in September. Industrial output growth in the month likely dropping to 4 to 4.5%. And Nomura said the PMIs out this week would probably drop below 50. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. Back here in the U.S., we're watching the Fed as several central bank officials make public remarks this week. With a preview, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Today, New York Fed President John Williams will be discussing the economic outlook before the Economic Club of New York. Tomorrow, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and BOE policymaker Katherine Mann will speak to the National Association for Business Economics. Yellen and Fed Chair Jay Powell will visit Capitol Hill twice this week to speak to key congressional panels. On Thursday, the House Financial Services Committee will be holding a hearing on the Fed and Treasury's pandemic response. And then Friday, Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker will be talking about the economic outlook with the Newcastle County Chamber of Commerce. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Futures higher this morning. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
507 on Wall Street, 63 degrees in Central Park, already dealing with a crash on the northbound New Jersey Turnpike. Michael Barr is here with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Good morning. The family and friends of Gabby Petito held a memorial service to honor the 22-year-old in her hometown on Long Island yesterday. Petito's body was discovered after she disappeared during a cross-country trip with her fiancé. Speaking to the crowd, Gabby's father, Joe Petito, urged family and friends to remember his daughter as a warm, welcoming person with a love of the outdoors who touched the lives of thousands.
Be inspired by what she brought to the table, because the entire planet knows this woman's name now.
Joe Petito also told the crowd to be inspired by the way his daughter treated people. Meanwhile, police continued to search for Gabby Petito's fiancé, Brian Laundrie. FBI agents visited Brian Laundrie's parents, requesting DNA for the investigation into Petito's death. A team of investigators from the NTSB is now at the site of an Amtrak derailment in north central Montana that killed three people and left seven hospitalized. Sarah Robin, Liberty County Emergency Services Coordinator, says everyone pitched in to help.
It doesn't matter your political differences. When there's an emergency, everyone here pulls together. We know what we have to do to save lives, and we just get it done.
Liberty County Emergency Services Coordinator Sarah Robin. The 10-car Empire Builder carrying about 141 passengers was en route from Chicago to Seattle when it left the tracks over the weekend near Joplin. There's outrage and disbelief in the Bronx after sanitation workers were seen throwing away cartons of produce from a local vendor. It sparked discussion on what critics say is the city's vendor outrageously slow permit process. At her stand, Dina Hernandez-Cruz, an immigrant and new mother, tells reporters through a translator she was outraged when city workers began taking away the food, saying she never had a response like this from the city in 5 years.
I'm here working at the stand to provide food, but also to take care of my family.
Deanna Hernandez-Cruz. The sanitation department says the employees were required to dispose the abandoned material for the safety of the community. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burton Accountants and Advisor Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashow.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees going for a sweep in Boston, looking to move ahead of the Red Sox in the standings. This game had two bizarre at-bats. Bottom of the seventh, tie game. Kyle Schwarber pops up. The normally sure-handed DJ LeMahieu drops it in foul territory. Then Schwarber hits a lazy fly to left. Joey Gallo drops that, gave Boston the lead. Top of the eighth, two on for Aaron Judge. He hits a foul pop. Could have been caught by Bobby Dalbec. It wasn't. Then it looked like Judge struck out. Christian Vasquez failed to hang on to a foul tip. Kept the at-bat alive for Judge.
The pitch is cut on and drilled to left center field in the gap. It's a base hit. One hop off the left center field wall. Two runs will score. Judge goes to second with a double. It is a one-out, two-run double by Aaron Judge in the eighth inning. And the Yankees take a 4-3 lead.
On WFAN, next batter, Giancarlo Stanton, another eighth-inning homer for him. Yanks won 6-3. In the last week, they've gone from fourth place to second. The Mets mailing it in, lost to Milwaukee 8-4. The Brewers clinched the NL Central. The Cardinals won their 16th in a row, longest National League winning streak in 70 years. New York football, not good. Jets and Giants, both 0-3. Jets have now lost 12 in a row in September. All Broncos in Denver, 26-0. Zach Wilson sacked five times, intercepted twice. The Jets lose. The Giants find ways to lose. Second straight loss on a last-second field goal. Atlanta won 17-14, spoiling Eli Manning Day. The only drama at the Ryder Cup was whether the U.S. would break the record for most points. They did with 19. They won all five sessions. Dustin Johnson, first since 1979, to go 5-0. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures higher by 15 points. Dow futures up 171. NASDAQ futures on the rise by almost 17 points. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield at 1.47%. This is Bloomberg. And we're coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning as investors assess whether global growth can withstand a slowdown in China and a global energy crunch. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 15 points. Dow futures up 164 and NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield at 1.47%. Yield on the two-year, 0.28%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4%, up $1.02 at $75 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 60 cents at $17.51, 10 an ounce. The euro, 1.1696 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3698. And the yen's at 110.91. And today we're watching for a report on durable goods orders out at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. It's a critical week for President Joe Biden's agenda as Democratic leaders work to delicately trim back his $3.5 trillion Build Back Better package and pass legislation to avoid a federal shutdown. The Senate has a test vote set for today to keep the government running and avert a federal debt default. But that package stands to run into a blockade by Republican senators. In Germany, it's a narrow election win by Social Democrats who defeated Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives. Major League Baseball, the Yankees swept the Red Sox yesterday 6-3 to sweep the series and take the AL wildcard lead. The Mets lost along with the Orioles and Nationals. The Giants and A's won. In the NFL, the Giants and Jets lost along with the Patriots, Washington, and the 49ers. The Ravens, they won on a 66-yard record-setting field goal against the Lions.
Isn't that great?
Of course it would happen to the Lions, right?
We've seen this movie before. Global
Not
News.
66 yards, you haven't.
Never mind. Hey, back to you.
All right, Michael, thank you as always. We're coming up to 520 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get set for a new trading week, we are joined by Dennis Gartman, the chairman of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee, of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Dennis, we meet once again on a Monday morning with equities moving higher and bonds selling off. Is this just a matter of there is no alternative to stocks right now?
I guess we're still dancing with Tina, aren't we? There is no alternative. And until we see that alternative, I guess the major trend is still from the lower left to the upper right, and then you have to err upon the side of being bullish. That's a story that's been going on for years now. Certainly it's for months now. It's been intact for weeks now, and it's probably going to continue to remain intact until it stops. It's an old story. It's a surprising story. It still shocks me that we are as bullish as we have been, but anytime you take the other side of the trade, anytime you try to cast Tina aside, Tina says, no, I want to continue to dance, so let's dance with Tina.
Are you surprised at all by the outperformance we're seeing this morning, particularly in the German stock index, the DAX? I mean, it's up 0.9%, leading just about everybody right now, despite the uncertainty surrounding the election result in Germany.
It was a less than stellar election result. I tend to be somewhat right-wing on my own politically, so I would have preferred seeing the Ms. Merkel's party continue to hold dominance. But let's be honest, left-wing parties tend to be far more expansionary as far as monetary and fiscal policies are concerned, and I guess that's what's driving European and German stocks as much higher as they are. A 0.9% gain is really quite impressive, and I guess it's just that we will continue to believe that a left-wing government will be more expansionary. So that's the story right now.
At the same time, we're seeing Treasury yields back here in the U.S. moving higher once again, a sell-off in securities this morning, and just saw a headline cross the Bloomberg terminal that two-year yields are at about a year-and-a-half high at 0.28%. Wouldn't you expect yield to drive down equities?
I think, first of all, that yields are going to go a lot higher over the course of a year or 2 years or 3 years. There's no question. The 10-year is now, 145 or so? It should be closer to 3 or 4%. That's I'm far more familiar with those levels than I am with 1.25, 135, 145, where we're at on the 10-year. When I first got into business in the late 70s and early 80s, the 10-year was above 10%, and I can remember when the long bond had a 14.25% coupon and you couldn't give it away. So the fact that we've driven yields up marginally, and I do mean marginally, we've taken the 10-year from just under 1% to 145 right now. They're going to go higher, and there are plenty of times in the past when higher yields and higher stock prices have been contiguous one with the other. I continue to be surprised by the strength of the stock market, but nonetheless, as we talked about 15 seconds ago, Tina is still the alternative. Tina is still the way to the trend. The trend is still from the lower left to the upper right, and anytime you take the other side, you're wrong.
And you don't think the commentary we got from the Fed last week about the timing of asset purchases shaking that Tina dance?
First of all, let's understand that tapering doesn't mean that you're stopping the purchasing of securities. In fact, all you're doing is slowing the speed with which you're buying Treasury securities. The Fed will be buying Treasury securities on into the middle of next year, no question about that. And so the monetary policies will still be expansionary. It's just slightly less expansionary than it has been. It'll be a long time until the Fed begins to actually tighten monetary policy. So too many people think that tapering means the end of the monetary expansion. It's just a slowing of the aggressive nature of which monetary policies have been expanding. So, no, I don't think the Fed's policies or any change that might have been last week to me was modest at best and basically fully concluded upon in the market already. So that didn't bother me even slightly. It's still
only
a bull market.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Dennis, but what about risks surrounding American politics? We've got a lot of votes coming at the same time before the end of this week on some very significant legislation.
The fear that the United States will default upon its debt, that there will not be an expansion of the Treasury's debt limit is nonsense. I've been in this for 50 years. I've seen too many of these. We will expand the debt limit. There won't be a default. We'll get to 11 o'clock 11:59 and 59 seconds, and there will be an expansion, no question about it. It always happens that way. They take it right to the very end, but they always bow in the direction of allowing the Treasury to do what it needs to do to keep the government funded. It'll just happen, no question about it.
Thank you, as always. Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter with us this morning, now chairman of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee. S&P futures up almost 15 points. Dow futures up 164. NASDAQ futures up 15 points right now. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Abundant sunshine today with a high near 80 degrees. Chance for a few showers tomorrow, mid-70s. Mostly sunny, high only near 70 on Wednesday. Currently 63 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pledging to pass President Biden's $550 billion infrastructure bill this week. She's setting a vote for Thursday and also saying the headline number on the White House spending and tax package will be lowered from $3.5 trillion.
I promised that we would bring the bill to the floor. That was according to the language that those who wanted this to be brought to the floor tomorrow wrote into the rule. We will bring the bill to the floor tomorrow for consideration. But, you know, I'm never bringing a bill to the floor that doesn't have the votes.
And Pelosi made the comments on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, politics are also in focus in Europe this morning, Karen. Germany has issued preliminary results in a very tight election, and Olaf Scholz of the center-left Social Democrats has defeated Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives, now led by Armin Laschet. We get more from Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo in Berlin.
Preliminary final results would put the SPD slightly ahead of the CDU with 25.7% of the vote, and then followed by the CDU at 24.1%. Now, both men, Olaf Scholz and Armin Laschet, say that they believe they have a valid case to try to form a government. The difference between the two of them is so tight that they both say we will want to explore coalition options.
Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo says coalition talks for either side will be complicated. It could take months to form a government.
Back here in the U.S., Nathan, the pandemic is also in focus this morning. New York is considering special action to meet its deadline for health care workers to be vaccinated today. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. If thousands of health care workers fail to meet that state vaccination deadline today, Governor Kathy Hochul plans to call the National Guard and out-of-state medical professionals to cover staff shortages. California and Maine have also set deadlines for health care workers to be vaccinated. Meantime, New York City's school system has been temporarily blocked from imposing a vaccination mandate for teachers and other staff. It was scheduled to go into effect at midnight tonight. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And S&P futures are higher, up 11 points. Dow futures up 148, and NASDAQ futures turn lower. They're down 13 right now. The 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.48%, and the yield on the 2-year, 0.28%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
It's 5:33 on Wall Street, 62 degrees in Central Park. Got an accident on the express lanes of the George Washington Parkway to steer around. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Mourners packed a funeral home in Long Island yesterday to say goodbye to Gabby Petito. The 22-year-old disappeared last month while on a cross-country trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. He remains missing and a person of interest in her killing. Gabby Petito's father, Joseph Petito, says he was inspired by his daughter's go-getter attitude.
If there's a trip that you guys want to take, take it now. Do it now while you got the time. If there's a relationship that you're in that might not be the best thing for you, leave it.
Joseph Petito has started the Gabby Petito Foundation in honor of his daughter. Investigators are seeking the cause for the weekend derailment of an Amtrak train in far northern Montana that killed three people. Seven people remained hospitalized. Sarah Robin, Liberty County Emergency Services Coordinator, says rescue teams were quick to respond, and they also had help from nearby residents who rushed to offer help.
Any fatality is awful. It could have been worse. We had beautiful weather, we had quick response, and we had a multitude of response.
The train was carrying more than 140 passengers en route from Chicago to Seattle when it left the tracks near Joplin. Hurricane Sam is a powerful Category 4 storm in the Atlantic Ocean. The National Hurricane Center said Sam was centered about 850 miles east-southeast of the northern Leeward Islands. Moulin Rouge, the musical, danced away with the Best New Musical at the Tony Awards last night. Producer Carmen Pavlovic accepted the show's award, saying she felt all of the shows nominated are winners.
It feels a little odd to me to be talking about one show as Best Musical. I feel that every show of last season deserves to be thought of as the Best Musical.
Pavlovic's show won 10 Tonys in total. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. What a weekend for the Yankees. A sweep in Boston. Eighth inning drama both Saturday with the Giancarlo Stanton Grand Slam and again last night just after the Sox had taken a 3-2 lead in the seventh, helped by the Yanks failing to make two easy catches in the same at-bat. The Yanks scored four in the eighth. Go-ahead two-run double by Aaron Judge, followed by another eighth-inning homer by Stanton. This one a two-run shot that landed on Lansdowne Street. The Yankees won 6-3. They've won six in a row. And if the season ended now, they not only would be in the wild card playoff game, they'd get to play it at home. Milwaukee clinched the NL Central with an 8-4 win over the Mets, who've now lost six in a row, 11 of 12. The Cardinals have won 16 in a row. Eli Manning Day at MetLife. Giants owner John Mara got booed, maybe because his team's record since 2017 is an NFL worst, 18-49. Mara said, "I would boo too." Giants fell to 0-3, like last week, blew a lead, lost on a last-second field goal. Previously winless Atlanta won 17-14. The Jets also 0-3, lost in Denver 26-0. Last night, Green Bay won at San Francisco on a last-second 51-yard field goal. Earlier, Baltimore won at Detroit on a Justin Tucker 66-yarder that went in off the crossbar. It's the longest field goal in NFL history. A U.S. rout at the Ryder Cup.
From inside 3 feet.
Back and threw it in. And Colin Morikawa's birdie here at 17 clinches the Ryder Cup for the U.S. team. The two-time major champion will now be part of a Ryder Cup champion team.
As heard yesterday here on Bloomberg Radio, the final was 19-9. That's the most points ever. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
The flooding from Hurricane Ida and Tropical Storm Henri were bad enough. Now people have to deal with losses that are not covered by insurance. The Albany Times-Union reports most of those facing damage from the storms lived outside of coastal floodplains, so they don't have flood insurance. Insurance companies don't provide any aid for anything caused by a storm. A weekend rally in Liberty State Park demands New Jersey Governor Murphy and the state legislature pass a bill to protect the park from privatization. The Hoboken Reporter says counter-protesters were on hand, too, backed by the billionaire owner of the Liberty National Golf Course, who tried to buy the park's Caven Point last year to expand the course. With sports betting going live in Connecticut in little more than a week, the State Department of Consumer Protection is out with a voluntary program. The Hartford Courant says it'll let anyone bar themselves from virtual gambling for a year or more. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger.
Thank you, Joan. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the ongoing rally in oil prices.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Walgreens has started to give COVID-19 booster shots at its drugstores.
I'm Caroline Hepcon, Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the government looking at bringing in the army as many fuel pumps run dry across the UK.
I'm Ann Cateson on WJFK in Washington, D.C. I'll be reporting on a pandemic-related increase in credit card debt.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Americans scramble for COVID tests as more employers and events require it.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning. It is 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Despite years of fading popularity, the party that backs Russian President Vladimir Putin won well over two-thirds of the seats in the country's new parliament. An electoral system that punishes a divided opposition helped, but so too did bands of so-called extremists, doppelganger candidates, pliant Western tech companies, and electronic voting, which delivered surging support for Putin's party just as key races in Moscow appeared to be going wrong. Social media footage of ballot stuffing and reports of violations abounded, despite official denials of widespread wrongdoing. The Kremlin hopes the results will project popularity. Don't be fooled. Unable to answer concerns over a lingering pandemic, rising prices, and shrinking real incomes, the Kremlin chose to emphasize control over credibility. It's a sign not of strength, but of the regime's underlying fragility. Putin fears the consequences should he loosen his grip. Russia in 2021 is a darker place than it has been in decades, and the rest of the world needs to take note. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. This is Bloomberg. And it's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and S&P futures are rising as investors assess whether global growth can withstand a slowdown in China and a global energy crunch. Treasury yields advancing as traders brace for speeches by Federal Reserve policymakers this week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 7 points. Dow futures up 122. NASDAQ futures lower, down 31. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 11/32nds. Yield 1.48%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.28%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25% or 91 cents at $74.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2% or $2.60 at $17.49.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1698 against the dollar, British pound 1.3694, and the yen's at 110.95. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. House Democrats are heading toward a showdown this week over President Joe Biden's economic agenda. There's a planned vote on a $550 billion infrastructure package that has driven the caucus into and still more negotiations on a broader tax and spending plan. An investigation is ongoing of an Amtrak derailment in north central Montana that killed three people. The train was carrying about 141 passengers and 16 crew members. Major League Baseball, the Yankees swept the Red Sox yesterday 6-3 to sweep the series and take the AL wild card lead. The Mets lost. In golf, in the U.S. Open, the U.S. won the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
And also in the NFL, the Giants and Jets lost along with the Patriots, Washington, and 49ers. The Ravens won on a 66-yard record-setting field goal. It's time expired against the Lions. And if you want the score of this, beaut, 19-17.
That sounds right.
Okay. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air. I'm so flustered. And on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Just be glad they don't tack on more points the longer the field goals are.
Right.
Thank you, Michael. 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn to the pandemic now as the Delta variant continues to put a strain on parts of the U.S. health system and booster shots begin to go out to millions of Americans. Americans. Gigi Grunwald is with us this morning, professor of the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor, good morning. Thanks, as always, for being with us. The day after we heard from CDC Director Rochelle Walensky on Face the Nation from CBS saying that some parts of the health system are in dire straits, in her words. How does the toll that we're seeing now compare to past waves of this pandemic?
I think there are a lot of things that are a lot worse because we still have the same people who are performing these healthcare services who are exhausted and really we're looking forward to not being in this situation anymore. I think many other aspects are much more hopeful, of course. There are so many people that have been saved by the vaccines and hopefully more people will choose to be vaccinated and put themselves in that safe category.
As you mentioned, though, we do have something like 70 million Americans that have yet to receive a first dose. That's a significant percentage of eligible people in this country. Now that we have millions of Americans eligible for booster shots, is there a risk that focusing on boosters could put those people who have yet to receive any vaccine at all, that the focus could go by the wayside for them?
Well, we're going to have to walk and chew gum at the same time here. We wouldn't really need to be discussing boosters at all if we had higher vaccination rates because, you know, the problem is that people are having to use their vaccines because they're continually getting exposed. And that's a result of spread mostly among unvaccinated people. So we need to do both. People who need boosters need to take that step for their individual health. But on a larger public level, we need to make sure that we counter the misinformation that has been rampant and get people signed up to get vaccinated.
Let's talk about who exactly does need boosters at this point. We've heard from the advisory panels. They're all in agreement that people over the age of 65 and those whose health puts them at risk of more severe COVID should get a third dose. At the same time, as you know, the CDC director went ahead and recommended boosters as well for people whose jobs put them at potential risk of getting COVID or more likely to get COVID than others. What should people be thinking about when they decide whether they should go ahead and get that third shot?
Yeah, I think this policy took the science and then, you know, made it very reasonable for people who have particular situations that may be at higher risk to go ahead and get the booster, which will be, you know, getting the vaccine is safe and effective for a booster. It could probably help people who are, younger than the where there's good data for getting a booster. So I think it's a little bit complicated, but it's a policy of maximum access. And for people who are older or who are immunocompromised, really it's important to get that booster.
As we continue to see Delta spread across this country, are we going to get to a point where more people are going to need booster shots, that it's going to be something that's universal?
I hope not. I hope that we will see an end to this Delta wave, and I hope that the experience that people have of seeing, problems with COVID a little bit closer up and their friends and family will encourage them to get vaccinated. But we do need to much more seriously counter the misinformation out there. It's very sad that people are choosing to leave jobs or to choose not to get a vaccine that's safe and effective based on the information that they've received, which is false.
In about 30 seconds here, what will you be watching for to see whether we have gotten past the Delta wave?
Well, I'd like to see testing to be much more accessible and rapid. And I think that'll be a good indicator that, as testing becomes much more accessible and we see, quicker turnaround times, that we're reaching the end of the wave. And, of course, the burden on the hospitals would be from the frontline people. That would be a good indicator.
Thank you, as always. Gigi Grunwald, professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, which is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent company, Bloomberg LP. Karen?
Nathan, it is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service extended a safe harbor for taxpayers building renewable energy projects. An attorney for the agency says this gives developers a break after pandemic-related delays and disruptions. Pinterest won dismissal of a proposed class action that alleged the company misrepresented its growth prospects in the United States. California is suing several major companies in federal court. The state hopes to recover the cost of cleaning up a landfill in Contra Costa County.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Well, now another legal story we're watching. We are 1 week away from the start of a new U.S. Supreme Court term. The upcoming docket includes high-profile, politically charged cases on abortion, gun rights, and possibly affirmative action. For a preview behind the politics of the new term, let's hear from Bloomberg political contributors Rick Davis and Jeannie Sheehan-Zeno.
This upcoming term, they have a bevy of cases that are, you know, going to be politically fraught. And number one on the list is, of course, the case out of Mississippi challenging Roe v. Wade, which is docketed for a hearing on December 1st. But that is really just the start of what is going to be, I think, a fairly potentially contentious year as the court returns from its, you know, its pandemic lockdown. And they are coming out of a term in which they had a remarkable number of unanimous opinions, and yet the last day of the term, you had these two cases that really showed this stark sort of partisan divide on the voting rights case. You know, there's a lot to contend with, and I think a lot of questions going forward this term as how the court contends with this sort of crisis of legitimacy that it's facing.
Yeah, I think that the courts usually reflect, you know, what's currently happening in society and trends that are happening, but this court really does go out of its way right now to say, you know, hey, we're not trying to be political. In politics, we have a technical term for that, saying the guilty dog barks the loudest. I really think that they're already there. If you look at the what's called the shadow docket by some of what they did when they weren't in session this summer, I mean, they got into some really hairy issues of free speech and evictions, immigration, this recent rejection of the Texas case that everybody was looking for guidance from. So I think that when you start looking at what they're doing versus what they're saying, this is going to be an intensely political court this year.
And that's Bloomberg political contributors Rick Davis and Jeannie Sheehan-Zeno. For more analysis of the latest legal news, listen to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribe to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. This is Bloomberg.